Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic, hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you are all cleared to know the truth. And hopefully, Josh, you have your new lanyard this week?
I do. I have my lanyard, and it's smaller than yours, but still triangular.
Yeah. Well, it's the new Theta protocol. I think Theta. I had to have Billy write this down for me. Theta protocol. Yep, that was it. So good, good. Well, I think we can get started then, because you know, if you don't have your lanyard, can't podcast.
Can I put, like, things on my lanyard? Can I, like, you know, like, little collectible shield pins and buttons and things like that? Is that – that's okay? Is that encouraged?
On the backside, yeah, that would be okay. And on the actual lanyard part, the
part that goes around your neck. My neck. Right,
yeah. Not on the badge itself.
Okay. Now, I did get an exclusive Hydra badge. At the last bad guy convention, is that okay to wear? Or, I
that
mean, it's a collectible.
I can see that. That would probably be frowned upon.
All right, fine.
I'm just gonna say I'm not saying no. I'm not saying no. I just have to talk to the council.
I've just been putting it on the underside of my lapel, you know, in case I see anybody.
I'll just put it to a vote.
All right. Yeah, put it to a vote. Thank you. You let them know. Yep.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine. So, right. Well, this is the penultimate episode, I guess. So why don't you tell us about it here?
All right. I'll talk pretty quick because I have a feeling there's a lot of stuff for us to discuss.
No. 3 pages of notes? Nah, that's not too bad.
Well, this episode 20 from season 2, Scars, is the title, and it aired on May 5th, 2015, written by Rafe Judkins and Lauren LaFranc, directed by Bobby Roth. So let me tell you a little bit about the episode, a little bit, because there are a lot of details that I'm not going to cover here. So turn off that morning alarm, pull down those sci-fi bed sheets, grab those robot socks, because we are ready to discover what Theta Protocol is all about and start a lasting, yet slightly prejudiced, relationship with the Inhumans. Back in the afterlife, you know, they're very unsure what to make of all this new attention from S.H.I.E.L.D., and Reyna's not making it any better. She has Gordon take her to verify the secret that Gonzalez has been keeping, and plus, she's trying to sow the seeds of dissension among the Inhumans. Or is that sowing incension among the dishumans? I don't know. Apart from mixing prefixes, we get to see the beginning of a potential war between the groups that may just be caused by the stubbornness of both Gonzalez and Jiaying. It leaves our friend Sky in the middle, Cal in S.H.I.E.L.D. custody, Bobby unconscious in the clutches of Grant Ward, and Gonzalez needing a very strong lotion, or at least a body cream.
Too soon? I could really use a drink of water right about now.
Oh my gosh, he was SpongeBob in the SpongeBob movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's wow. Sad.
Yeah, they really did put us in a bad spot here at the end of the episode, didn't they? I mean,
yeah.
Things look pretty bad.
And there's more. There's characters I didn't even talk about. Talk about Mac. Right. All right, we'll get to that.
We'll get to Mac, yeah. All right. Well, so lots of new friends have joined us on Facebook over the last week, and so hopefully that means that there are more people listening to this podcast. So welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. And for those of you that haven't gotten into the conversation going on at Facebook, it's continuing.
It's great to see all those new faces in your ear. I'm looking right in your ear right now. So it's great to see you.
It looks good. Uh-huh. So. we've got the what, in my opinion, is the finest Art of Evolution print to date. But I'm just a sucker for Ryan Sook's art. The print for the exclusive limited to 100 Art of Evolution print for the season finale, SOS, looks like a, it's like a 1950s Marvel comic. It's kind of looks like one of their horror comics. And it's got all the little heads up in the upper left-hand corner and features Fitz and Simmons on it. And it says, can Fitz Simmons face what hides in the shadows? So they are teasing next week pretty well.
I love this comic. You're right. It is like a horror comic, isn't it? An old, like a vintage horror comic, too. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love it.
I get the kind of Tales from the Crypt vibe from it, but also I think Vault of Horror might have been one of Marvel or Timely's releases previously. There was also something Monster, Where Monsters Dwell, I think was the other one that they had, that, a horror comic from the 50s, 60s, something. So
yeah,
that was pretty cool. And as we mentioned last week, there was a small movie release over the weekend that kind of sort of ties into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. here. Avengers: Age of Ultron continues to explode through the theaters all in less than a week. Through this last Tuesday when S.H.I.E.L.D. aired, the movie's domestic total was $217 million. Overseas, it had already earned, because it had been out for a week, so for like a week and 4 days, it had earned almost $500 million, $478.2 million. That's a worldwide total of $695 million, almost $700 million in like a week and a half or less. Insane.
That's a lot of bread.
Yeah, that is. That'll buy a lot of upgrades for Iron Man in Civil War. And it looks like even more money
for some of the damage that was caused in this movie.
Yes, they can repair some of the damage. And it looks like even more money to Ant-Man just because he's so small. But he's got a movie coming out here in a couple months too. So,
maybe how they pay, like when they give like charities and things, those mega checks, you know, those great
big ones. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Ant-Man, they pay him in like little tiny checks, you know, like postage size. That's what I think. That's how I envision that he gets a salary.
That'd be good. So now you got a chance to see Ultron, correct? In theaters this weekend?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I went ahead and splurged to go see the 3D IMAX showing.
Ooh. What'd you think of that?
Was that worth it? I didn't have to pay. You know, I made my wife pay, so that's cool. Yeah. So yeah, it was totally worth it. I will
You're
be honest
so
with you. I have heard a lot of things. She makes more money than me. I have heard a lot of things online that of people that did not like it, said it wasn't worth it, the 3D didn't enhance it, or you know, whatever. I was blown away. I thought it was amazing. I really thought that the 3D was smooth. You know how sometimes I've seen 3D movies where maybe the edges of the screen weren't quite as clear to me.
Not as sharp.
You know what I'm talking about? This one, it was spot on. I thought it worked really great. I felt there were times, there were scenes that I was actually really, what's the word? You know, just engrossed.
Immersed?
Like I was immersed in it. Yes, that's it. Immersed in certain scenes, especially some of the fighting scenes. So I don't know, maybe I'm just easily pleased, but I thought it was... I thought it was great. I really enjoyed the whole movie overall in IMAX and in 3D. So
well, I enjoy 3D. I know it's a gimmick, but I do not enjoy post-processed 3D. I like things shot in 3D. And the last 3D film that I saw that I enjoyed was Avatar, and I really don't pay for 3D movies. Actually, I take that back. I saw Phantom Menace in 3D just because it was Star Wars. But the last film that I saw in 3D that I really enjoyed was Avatar. I also just don't pay to go see 3D movies because why spend an extra $5 for something that really, to me, again, my opinion, is just a gimmick. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I do have people in my family that have problems seeing the 3D just due to eye issues or, you know, eye differences or whatever. So we just tend not to go. I did also hear people kind of, I mean, I've heard all sorts of belly aching about lots of different things, and which is kind of surprising. We'll see if you know, the film sloughs off after a week here because people aren't seeing it again due to the complaints. But I really enjoyed it. I it was not the same as the first film. The first film was great. I really enjoyed it. I think the second film is great, and it's very much like the second film in a trilogy. I mean, it's dark. It's a more introspective piece. I liken it a lot to Empire Strikes Back, just in the fact that we get to understand a lot of the character motivations. It it has some great action sequences, but it also takes these characters that we've experienced through multiple films in the franchise. And when we talk about the franchise, I think we can talk about, you know, not just the Avengers franchise, but we're talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like all, you know, whatever, we're at 12 films now or something. So I really enjoyed it. And there were funny parts. There were a lot of characters, and there were some parts that did feel like there was something missing. And I've heard that there's been anywhere from like 15 to 30 minutes cut. I'm interested to see a DVD Blu-ray release that might insert some of that stuff back in. I especially hear it was around some of the Thor sequences, because Marvel really wanted to insert some things that continued the overall storyline of the franchise, of the Avengers franchise. So Joss Whedon was not terribly excited about that. There was some other stuff that he fought for, and Marvel was fighting for, you know, they were fighting for different things. So we'll see what comes from that. But all in all, I mean, I give it like 3.5 out of 5 stars, I would say. I think it was a really good film, and it really starts setting up some things for the future of possibly Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. here, but definitely what the next big film that's coming, which is Captain America Civil War, which will be out in a year.
Well, for me, for my entertainment value, I would give it at least 4 out of 5 stars. As for, you know, average moviegoer that likes to really critique storylines and things like that, I can see 3.5 out of 5 stars. But yeah, for me, my personal value, I had a great time. I enjoyed it. Well, after a very rough start that I told you with my family viewing experience, but the movie overall, I liked it a lot.
And
I really feel like one more point. I just want to say, I really feel like the Marvel Cinematic Universe and these stories that are very overall tied together, right? I'm really feeling like their movies are the new comic books or an evolution of comic books. I really feel like these movies are very much like the comic books of old, you know? It's like the futuristic style of comic books. It's what it is. They continue in other movies, and yet they're tied in. They have different stories, but it's kind of what I feel are the comic books of today.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, and Whedon actually does a really good job of, you know, making some of the scenes, the tableaus, very comic book-ish. There were some sequences that it's like, oh, I could just freeze this right here, and this would be a splash page. Oh, I could freeze this right here. This is a good action shot from a comic book. You know, because he cuts to slow motion, and it's just, you know, the way stuff's cut together. I'm sure that I've only seen the movie once. It bears repeating or repetitive views because there's so many good things in the film about characters having opposing viewpoints of other characters, and I just really want to explore that a little bit more. But I paid as much attention as I could, and there's still a number of pieces that I just don't comprehend and stuff like that. So
yeah, and that's one of the complaints I hear from a lot of people. But to me, again, that's kind of what makes it a comic book, you know? I mean, I remember growing up and really looking at comic books more than once and going through and reading them again and analyzing frames and stories and dialogue. So that's one of the things that I really enjoy about this movie. Some of the things that people don't. So again, feel free to disagree with me. Write in and tell me why I'm wrong. I'm okay with that.
And then breaking news here as we finish up recording.
This just in.
Yeah. Marvel Studios, with their number one hit film, Age of Ultron, has just announced that they are renewing both Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter. So third season for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and second season for Agent Carter.
Now, that is fantastic news. Now, I'm not surprised about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's gotten a lot of good buzz lately, especially, and then this season ending's going great. But Agent Carter, that is wonderful news.
Yeah, I am. They don't have too much other information other than the writing duo of Michelle Fazekas and Tara Butters will return. So I'm assuming they are still going to be running it. They don't say whether it's going to get another 8-episode mid-season deal or what. But at this point, I think it is probably safe to say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be a 22-episode season 3, right? That's not probably in contest. And I would assume that Agent Carter will get the mid-season replacement with probably this spin-off show potentially starring Adrian Palicki and Nick Blood, you know, showing up someplace else. I don't know. And then there's the Mysterious Project by producer John Ridley, which we had also talked about, which no one really knows too much about. So
we'll be making an announcement that there are no shows on TV other than comic book shows. I think it's last non-comic book show ended today.
Yeah, I mean, they are really starting to take over everything there. So that's pretty cool. So anyway, we've got more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to talk about for next year, and more Agent Carter that we will continue talking about on our Agent Carter Case Files show. So stay tuned for those, and we'll bring you more information about the potential quote-unquote spin-off shows, whether they end up showing up next season or maybe further into the future. We will have to find out. All right. Well, as you mentioned earlier, we do have a lot to talk about Scars and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. here. So why don't we get started on that?
Yes.
So, as I mentioned before, this is the penultimate episode. Now, this is the 20th episode. There are 22 episodes this season. They just happen to be combining episodes 21 and 22 next week for a 2-hour season finale. So check your DVRs, make sure everything is set up appropriately. Based on what I saw on TV Guide the other day, and I haven't checked to see if it got changed, S.H.I.E.L.D. still will be on at 9. It's just going to go 9 to 11 instead of, well, at least 9 to 11 Eastern and Pacific, so probably 8 to 10 Central and Mountain, I guess, is how that works. Or
it usually starts
however
here,
you
so.
Time shift it for yourself. Yeah. So I figured I'd take this really easy. We'll get started easy here this week and talk about things that we have been speculating on for the past couple podcasts here. One is the Theta Protocol. We've been hearing this bandied about for at least 2 weeks. And then also that the Iliad, which is the very cool boat that Gonzalez is stationed on, or originally was stationed on. I think he's kind of taken over Fury's or Coulson's base now. We finally find out what is the secret that they have been hiding in the hold. So Theta Protocol, we were not sure if it was actually calling the Avengers last week. We were talking about that. And we find out Theta Protocol actually involves rebuilding a helicarrier. And not just any helicarrier. This is the original helicarrier from the Avengers film from 2012. It is the same number, number 64. And it has a very special place in Avengers Age of Ultron. So it's very important that it's this particular helicarrier and not one of the ones that we saw in Captain America Winter Soldier. And the only difference I could tell between the two is the Avengers helicarrier has the rotors in it. Remember, because Tony Stark has to, jumpstart it in that movie?
Mm-hmm. Right.
By flying around inside of it. And then by the time Winter Soldier comes along, they've replaced all the props with repulsor jets for the, I can't remember the name of the program they call it, Project Insight, I guess. So that's what's going on there. And then what was hiding in the Iliad's hold is this big black stone, which, quote, could mean the end of the Inhumans. I don't know what this is. It doesn't look like a diviner or anything like that, but it's got these deep holes in it. I was going to say they're like cavities. Handholes, but they're cavities. They're squared edges. So it's not just like a normal wear and tear formation. It's a very smooth obelisk, but it's not a regular shape. And what I noticed, I'm going to post some pictures on our Facebook page. It goes from being a stone, it turns into a liquid as if it were a sea, and then it reforms into the stone. But when it reforms, these cavities are in a different spot, which is really weird. So I'm not sure what that
is. I didn't
means.
Notice that the first time. I'm glad you pointed that out, because that could be significant later on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess you'd think if something turned into a liquid and reformed, it may not really reform in the same way that it did the first time. But
well, no, but I would also assume that the cavities would look a little more natural as opposed to a design or a removal of a piece, you know, that as an intentional removal of a piece.
Right.
Where maybe
or some kind of communications. Yeah. And it only seemed to turn liquid when Inhumans were present. And supposedly this is very dangerous to them. So, yeah, if you noticed, it only turned into liquid when when Raina and Gordon came into the room. It was previously
I did notice that.
Solid.
I thought it had been something like, just periodically turned liquidy.
Yeah, we didn't see it happen ever again, and nobody mentioned it. And what was weird was, you think they would have seen this on the video feed when Raina and Gordo were in the room, but they didn't. You know, none of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents made mention of that, and they didn't make mention of it. So I seem to think that they may not know that that happens, because of course they've got the guard stationed on it, and nobody said, "Oh my gosh, what some weird stuff's happening" or whatever. So I don't know. But, okay, so that was cool. I'm glad we got at least a couple answers out of this episode full of other questions. Yeah, well, the stone is still a question, but...
Yeah, but it was like two big secret reveals, you know, like that they'd been keeping from people. And now they're kind of out in the open there. Not what they all do, but what they are, so... Yeah, see, it's like we've mentioned this. It's like Lost, you know. You reveal a secret, but then that opens up another secret, and that's how you kind of keep that going. It's interesting.
Lost at its best. Lost at its worst. Just kept opening up secret after secret after secret, and never answered anything. So, all right. So this episode is called Scars, and no, Jeremy Irons did not have a cameo in it. But
man.
Yeah, I was waiting for him to come out and sing a little bit from The Lion King, but. There are many different types of scars that our characters have. I saw references to physical scars. Obviously, the most prominent one would be Jia Ying's, what you can see on her face at least. This week's Art of Evolution print had a painting of her where you could see a little bit more exposed portions of her flesh, and there was lots of scarring on that. There's also characters that have emotional scars, like Raina, I think Cal a little bit, and May. And then I typified a third one here called mental scars. And I put Kara on that list because...
Ooh, yeah.
it's a little bit different than emotional scars, because she was indoctrinated by Hydra and they like physically did things, remapped her brain pathways and stuff with all their with their Faustus method, I guess. And so they, you know, who was it? I guess Simmons kind of worked on her and helped clean that up and basically told her, you know, all that stuff has been flushed out of your brain. You may still have some memory gaps, but she shouldn't be have any of that Hydra programming inside her anymore.
I don't know how they verify that. I mean, I mean, to me that seems like that's just something that's, well, like you said, like a scar, you know, something that just stays around forever. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I worry about that, especially after the end of this episode.
Well, right. I mean, that's the whole point of a scar, right? Is it's a place where there has been damage, and there's visible traces of that damage. You know, it stays with you, whether it's like, you know, obviously a physical scar is something that you can see on your skin and might change or fade with time. Emotional scarring might have this as well. But I think, you know, they're both potentially as destructive as each other. And what happened to Kara was obviously that, was that rough. I mean, we've seen a huge arc with her over this season, and the challenges she's gone through. Actually, let me just interject this here, because I've talked to a number of people that who I've said, hey, the show's getting better again. And they're like, yeah, but we had to sit through all those shows at the beginning of the season. And I can't remember if I mentioned this last week, but if we hadn't sat through all those episodes of character development and, you know, people just going about their day-to-day routine kind of things, basically teaching us about these characters, we would not be able to have episodes like this, which I thought was a really strong episode. There was a lot of meat in this episode, and a lot of for people that have been paying attention and focusing and following these characters, there was just a lot of payoff for it. And you know, you can't just go from the end of season two to the end of season three without having all that intervening stuff. And so I want to kind of discuss some of the things that basically I think that the producers have been scarring us with, pun intended there, throughout the season. Because they've basically been telling us stories and setting up characters to follow certain pathways, I guess, is probably the best way to put it. We know that when X happens, character A will always, you know, do the same thing. And so we've come to expect certain things about the characters. So I call them bait and switches here. That's kind of what I've got in my notes. So I want to ask you about some of this and see what your thoughts were, okay?
All right. Let's hear it.
All right. So Reyna, who has obviously had a huge transformation in this season, they have set her up. Now, granted, we've seen her since what, like the second? Was she in the initial pilot?
No, there was her first episode was the girl in the flower dress, right?
Okay, right. Which I think can't was remember, like second or third episode,
yeah, then. Something like that. So I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. She's no longer wearing flower dresses. That kind of transformation.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's very obvious and good, Josh. Thank you. No, so they set her up as this character, and they've done this through, you know, I mean, over two seasons. Basically, that's just kind of what I wanted to get to, is that, you know, we've had a long time to get to know her, and she's a very manipulative person. She puts herself in these positions where she's working for the clairvoyant, and then something happens to the handler that was the direct contact, and she gets promoted. And you're not really sure how much she has done herself and how much, you know, is kind of just providence, I guess. But we've seen her really out for herself. And in this episode, they continued to reinforce that. Cal went above and beyond, I think, in describing her to Jiaying as a very untrustworthy person. And then they take us right up to the end, you know, and even, I guess, even Jiaying said, you know, all the people that know you don't trust you, which I thought, I mean, they're really just telling us we can't trust her. And so when it comes down to, is she telling the truth about this invasion or S.H.I.E.L.D. attacking or whatever, and she's the one that should be leading the talks, not Jiaying? You know, of course we don't believe that. But they pull the rug out from under us, and it turns out that she was telling the truth.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I guess...
Do you think there's doubt?
I guess maybe she was telling the truth about what she saw, but I definitely think she was using it to her advantage to get what she wanted. She still, to me, is not trustworthy. I think she's very manipulative and a liar. But yeah, I mean, I guess it was revealed that, I guess it was revealed that she was, telling the truth, I guess. Well, I don't know. I still don't trust her is what I'm trying to say is she doesn't, just because it showed that what she said came to pass. Mm-hmm. I don't think that necessarily means, well, yeah, okay, so she's good now, or she's on our side or something. I don't know.
Right. Well, we haven't seen any of her other visions other than what we saw at the beginning of last week's episode, where she saw Gordon bleeding and Lincoln getting cut by Hydra and stuff like that. And I also agree with you that she is still probably not completely trustworthy. Mm-hmm. I really like Cal's statement that she thrives on chaos, because she's like, well, what advantage would that have to me? He's like, because you live for that. Like, and there is just some people that's, you know, some people like calm, orderly things, and other people thrive on chaos and adrenaline and stuff like this. And she seems to be one of those kind of people that, if she's pulling the strings and keeping other people guessing as to what's going on, I think that that pleases her. I guess we truly haven't seen her vision come to pass, because we haven't seen the Quinjets raining fire from the sky or whatever it was she said. But it seems pretty apparent that's where this is going to go.
Right. So, I think so, too. That's why they showed what they showed us, you know, and that was the first part of what she said.
Right.
She ran straight to Gordon, and I don't know. That seems like a very odd thing. Why would you go to, like, her, you know, Jiaying's most trusted person and tell him?
Well, because he'd been listening to her, right? I mean, she had been telling him a number of things, and she convinced him that they need to go rescue Sky, and she convinced him, or at least Sky, to talk to Gordon to take Sky, you know, to help in the fight from last week. And there was something else she was saying to him this week. It seemed like, you know, she had a good enough relationship with him, I guess. Yeah. So,
I guess so. And she'd been working him, I guess.
Right. But basically, the whole thing that they were doing with this character was they were telling us the character's this way, the character's this way. And then at the end, they appeared to have flip-flopped the character. And this was not the only character they did this with. Gonzalez was another one that they seem to have been playing on our assumptions, I guess you could say, of who this character is. He's been grumpy for every episode here. He seems to have a grudge against the Inhumans, at least as far as, you know, wanting to find out more about them. He was pleased to have, I guess, quote, like, prisoners on board with Lincoln and Sky. So when he kind of appears to weasel himself into becoming the liaison for this meeting with Jiaying, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, and he's asking for a contingency plan from Agent Weaver. And he gets this little box and you're like, oh, this is going to go so wrong. Yeah, yes. Of course, you know.
Up to the very second she opened that, I thought, oh, what's he got in there? What's all
right?
Oh, yeah. I
and,
was worried.
Oh, it's a lovely necklace that you lost. And, you know, I found it. I just kind of, you know, was thinking it would be nice if I gave it to you and everything. So here you go.
What are you asking her out? That's a.
And he turns out to just be be the company man doing his job. I mean, I have not really thought I was trusting him. And then, you know, he says that Coulson was too close to the whole situation, which was probably true, but I felt like Robert was really trying to integrate himself in there. But I mean, luckily he was the right man for the job, because if Coulson was there, yeah. Oh, well, no more Phil.
Do you think that's still what I was thinking about that? Do you think that would have happened to Coulson?
Tahiti part two. Yeah, I do.
Tahiti part two. yeah, that was, you know, he really showed why Coulson is trusting of him, or I guess was trusting of him, because even a couple times in this episode, who was it? I think it was Hunter and Fitz, right? We're questioning Gonzalez, and he said, no, look, you know, he was right what he was saying. So let's trust him and let him do his job, let him do what he's skilled to do.
Yeah.
So it did seem like he was doing a really good job. I still kind of in the back of my mind thought maybe he had something else planned. But I don't know why. After she opened that box, it seemed like that was a legitimate thing. Of course he did still was showing signs of prejudice against Inhumans and or anybody that's got abilities.
Yeah.
But I think that's his nature, you know. Even though it was his nature, he was seemingly doing the right thing at that moment.
Yeah, even though he had these prejudices, which I think is a good word, you know, it's a like a racism of kind, right? I mean, he's prejudiced against others that are different from him based on his history, right? On his interactions with these types of people. So even though he has all that, and that's what we keep seeing from him, like you said, he has an idea and you know, it's a good idea and it's the right idea and it's the right thing for the organization to do at the time. I thought it worked out. And he was also comparing his scars to Jia Ying's, which, you know, I mean, he seemed to be doing a good job of bridging that gap, you know, and I thought things were going pretty well up until she started monologuing and she pulled out this crystal and I was like, this is not going to work out right.
As soon as he mentioned the plan, I guess, was that about the time when it was, when she started talking about that? When, you know, as far as indexing them, he didn't say that. She's the one that said index first.
She brought up indexing. Yeah. I can't remember what triggered that in her, but then Jia Ying is kind of the third character that, you know, we've seen her as this kind of motherly figure, like figuratively and literally. She's leading this group of Inhumans, which is a subgroup, right? It's not everybody, but it's a group that is splintered off of the main one. We're not sure why, though I have some ideas now as to why they may not be welcome with the rest of the tribe, so to speak. But, you know, she seemed, she was saying even earlier in the episode that, I can't just go attack these people and, you know, and fight them off because my people, the Inhumans, won't blindly follow me. Well, that's very clever, because if they're not going to blindly follow you, you know, if you martyr yourself.
Yeah, I think Gordon will blindly follow her. That was not nice. I'm sorry.
I did not.
I'm sorry,
it's too
Gordo.
Soon.
I'm sorry.
Too soon. Yeah. But she, you know, but then she goes kind of against her character that we've seen and kills Gonzalez and incites a war by shooting herself, which I'm like, oh, God, you know, all we got to do is get CSI fits there and go, oh, you know, there's carbon burns on her fingers. You know, she's the one that shot herself. Like, but of course, that'll never come to pass. No one will ever investigate this, I don't think. I feel like.
No, there's no witnesses. There's no reason to believe
otherwise.
So
nope. Yeah, because, I mean, everybody else will look at Gonzalez and go, well, yeah, he always said he hated these kind of people.
Now, had it been Coulson, I think that would have been different. But then again,
you think the outcome would have been different?
No, I mean, they would have investigated it. They would have.
Oh, look, yeah, yeah.
Coulson would never threaten her. Coulson would never pull a gun on her. You know, I mean, so yeah, I think it would have been a little bit different.
Well, yeah, but see, Gonzalez only pulled the gun after like it was too late. I mean, he had, you know, he was dead anyway.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. But
you know what?
They are loyal enough to Coulson. I think they would have gone, wait a second, this is not in his character to have attacked her.
It'd be interesting to know, because Coulson has Cree blood in him now, doesn't he? Because he was experiencing so he might actually have been able to survive that.
Huh. Interesting. Like grow another head or something, you know. Just
cut one off. What's interesting, though, is some of the things that Jiang peppered her talk to Gonzalez about. One is a very telling line. Again, I like these kind of double-edged lines where the first time through it doesn't really mean much, you know, because she's talking about she's just talking about a larger picture and stuff. But she says, you can never be prepared for what people are capable of. Now, she's talking about people's prejudice towards the Inhumans. But, of course, Gonzalez was not prepared for what she was capable of. And she also talks about what makes people do bad things, fear. And again, first time through, you're thinking, yeah, you know, people are afraid of these kind of superpowered individuals. And that's, you know, where S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming from. They're coming from a place of fear, wanting to index them all. And I can see how as a, you know, as a powered person that you would not want to be put through that. I mean, like, we could rationalize and say, well, it's not really a big deal. It's just a bunch of questions they get asked. But I mean, what business is it of S.H.I.E.L.D. to be doing this? And I, you know,
well,
Gonzalez makes his case. And
even more than that, where do they go from there? You know, once you have them on this index, what happens to them then? And, you know, they have,
you're tagged and you're watched and
yes, exactly.
You're harassed.
I mean, it's a lot like, you know, it's a lot like the Nazis. And she even mentioned that, throughout, what'd she say, history or generations, different generations have, I can't remember the words, but she was referring to, you know, how different generations have done the same thing.
Yeah.
Put people on index or lists or groups or, and then, you know, look what has happened. So I can see that is a definite legitimate fear of having people.
1940s, you got the Nazis. 1950s, you've got the McCarthy hearings. You know, the 1960s, mm-hmm. you got the CIA keeping track of artists and dissidents and stuff like that. I mean, it just goes on.
Yeah, and today, you know, people are scanning podcasts to see what they're talking about. So, you know, go government. And
I love the NSA.
And even if I'm laughing at something else, NSA. even if now it is legitimate, even if it's Coulson keeping track of it and he has that information, he's a very honest, honorable man. Who's to say that later on someone else isn't in charge and they'll abuse that power? So I think she has some legitimate issues.
Yeah. If there's the information available at some point, someone will use it for a purpose that it is not designed to be used for. And it may be a purpose that nobody has even thought of at this point because the, you know, stuff doesn't exist for it. I mean, this is the same in the real world as it is in the fictional universe that we're in here. So, and also just going back to the fear speech for a second, I feel that Jiang, was coming from a place of fear as well. I don't think that any of this stuff discounts her fear. I think her fear is warranted to a degree for a number of things we just discussed, but, I think they could have probably worked this out, but it puts us in a really interesting place.
That's
really
my question. So did she plan this all along? Was she going to do this no matter what? Whoever showed up, Gonzalez, Coulson, whoever, was she going to kill them or
I guess, potentially test them, or did she just start getting upset after Gonzalez was talking to her about what was going to happen?
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes that she planned this, and this is my rationale.
Okay.
At a scene maybe 10 minutes before that meeting,
uh-huh,
she meets with another woman outside in the courtyard area, and the woman says they've been packing up the boxes, that everything's ready to go, and that woman is holding the crystal in her hand wrapped in partially in a handkerchief.
Yep.
The same handkerchief that Jiaying had.
Wasn't in
and
the
she's like,
before.
Yeah, you sure this is what you want to do? And she's like, sure, yeah, it's not going to be a problem or something like that. So she was setting up for this.
Yeah, I agree that was kind of her plan going in. So my question is, why? To what end? What are they going to gain from this, we'll call it a war, you know, this conflict with S.H.I.E.L.D.? Even if they win, you know, then what? So that's what I'm wondering, is what she thinks she has to gain from this.
Oh, good. I got answers. I got answers for that.
Oh, nice.
I got ideas.
I knew I asked the right person.
Ideas of answers. Well, she was scarred by Whitehall and his Hydra agents. She knows, I'm assuming she knows that Hydra has had some infiltration into S.H.I.E.L.D., and so she probably does not trust S.H.I.E.L.D. as an organization anymore. She wants to be left alone, but she knows that there are these groups out there looking for her, and these people. Again, we don't know why her group is apart from the rest of the Inhumans. I have a feeling it has something to do with her being kind of crazy and, you know, ousting them. There is a comic book character called Maximus the Mad,
right,
which is Black Bolt's brother, Black Bolt being the leader of the Inhumans who can't speak, and his crazy, I think, full brother. But Maximus is always, you know, just doing really insane things, and they have to kind of keep him in check because he threatens to destroy the Inhumans or expose them or whatever. I feel that Jiaying is that kind of character. I think that we're going to find out that, you know, she is just gonzo nuts or something like that. And you know, it sounds like that she's got this plan. She just basically wants to destroy S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, I think just due to the fact that past, associations, they have, you know, kind of indoctrinated her daughter, and they're sort, you know, it's sort of like, I have my daughter back, but she's also part of this other world. You know, it's kind of like Little Mermaid and she's Ursula, I would guess.
Okay. And I thought you were going to say you're Little Mermaid's mom, you know, and she took over. But yeah, I guess that is kind of like Ursula, I guess.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, wanting to, you know, keep her, well, not being happy, I guess. But, I mean, there was...
Poor, unfortunate
souls. We could talk
souls,
about Little Mermaid
kind of
for hours, yeah.
and by the way, listen to our Little Mermaid podcast that we do. Yeah, those are really good points. I absolutely. So I guess, you know, she's been around for a long time, but she was cut up and put into jars, and that, I'm sure,
yeah,
that affects you in some ways.
That changes,
you know,
a person.
It does change a person. You know, you get a different view of life.
And she's also put Cal, I mean, obviously she and Cal have worked something out, because, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to hand over my ex-husband who's killed S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. Oh, no, not S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, just bad people. No, I don't think they were just bad people. And he's very
they had
happy
it coming to
go.
To him, though. That's
they did have it. Most of them had it coming. But she turns him over. Why? Well, the three little vials that he had previously that we had seen a couple weeks ago when he visited Milwaukee are not full anymore. And he doesn't know what's in them. Oops, shucks, I don't know what these are.
Do you think she gave those to him, or did he have those? Did he just have
I think
them
he
with
brought
him?
Those back from his trip to Milwaukee.
But
because they were in
was...
the drawer.
But didn't they mention something about him?
Yeah, Gordon was taunting
those?
Him about his muscle milk.
Right.
This episode, without that, he's nothing. But they haven't really spelled it out. But for those of you that know, Calvin Zabo is actually Mr. Hyde in the comic books. Spoiler alert. So, next week, I have a feeling, basically, we're going to get a code Hyde in the middle of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s headquarters. And I'm terribly looking forward to it. I feel like they're going to do it kind of like based on this Art of Evolution print we were talking about earlier. It's going to be done like kind of an old 1950s horror film. I hope.
Ooh, cool. Oh, I like that idea.
I'm looking forward to that. So, so much good stuff with Jia Ying, though. I've said for a couple weeks, I'm like, something is not right with her.
She was way too nice as a character. I still don't think she has real strong feelings towards Cal or Sky.
You think that's still a put on as well?
I do. I really do. I'm not sure how close she is to either of them anymore. Maybe Sky, because it's her daughter, but I mean, I don't know. She doesn't seem all that protective of her to me.
All right, yeah, she's putting her at a big risk here, setting her in the middle between these two factions. I mean, basically, Sky identified herself with the Inhumans this week. She said "we" multiple times. Which I think really threw Coulson for a loop. A lot of things threw Coulson for a loop this week, especially Agent May. There is so much stuff coming to a head with this character. I don't think she trusts Coulson fully anymore. I don't think she trusts herself anymore. I was going to ask you, do you think that she's afraid of Sky? Or is she more afraid of, like, how she'll react, how May herself will react if put into a situation with Sky?
After seeing that episode, Agent May, you know, where they showed about her past and what happened, her dealings with people with enhancements there. I think she might be more afraid of the situation. Not so much afraid of Sky, because that would imply she's afraid she might get hurt or something. I don't think she cares much about that. But what she might do, or that it could cause some serious consequences among S.H.I.E.L.D., among her friends, you know. So I think that's her relationship with Sky.
Okay. Well, it seemed like, I can't remember if we discussed this or not on the Melinda episode where we saw about her flashbacks, but I think we discussed that Phil might have guessed what was going on with her. But yeah, in this episode, we find out he did not know what really, really went on, and the fact that she had to put this young girl down. And I feel that May is basically second-guessing herself for the way she dealt with Coulson and the way that she's dealt with Sky. She comes right out basically and says, you know, I should have stopped you from doing the stuff you did. And he's like, I didn't hurt anybody. She's like, but I should have stopped you. So she feels, I believe, that she has let her emotional attachment to individuals put her job at risk, or not her job, but, you know, the job she's supposed to do.
Her ability to accomplish her job.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't know that she's really justified in her disgust. Well, not disgust, maybe, but her disappointment in Coulson.
I don't know. Disgust might be right.
Maybe she is disgust.
I think she's pretty PO'd at him for.
Yeah, I don't. Jeez, I just I
holding
don't know.
Back a lot.
He's the director of S.H.I.E.L.D., for crying out loud. I don't know. And she should know that. That's what I mean. You know, I can see other people. I can see Fitz or Simmons or Sky even, you know.
Yeah, but last week she did say it was personal, right? Because really, the thing that really crossed the line for her was talking to her ex-husband. Ostensibly, he thought about her, but really it was for his own safety or sake. But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I hate to say this, but as you know, if I were Coulson, I'd be like, yeah, look, that's part of my job. I'm not here to keep friends and make people happy. If she doesn't like it, that's just tough. And that's a very Nick Fury thing to say. You know, I mean, Nick Fury, you've never seen Nick Fury concerned about people's feelings.
I'm sorry. Did you lose your concentration? Yeah. That is true. You do not see Nick Fury concerned with people's Sorry, what is
feelings?
What you just
emotions?
Said? Feelings. Thank you. Yeah, emotions. Thank you. but Coulson's different. Coulson is concerned with that, and evidenced by Matt coming in and quitting. And I felt Coulson really took that personally, though he was very professional about the encounter. I feel that, I mean, Coulson felt he was really losing a great agent, but I also think Mac had some really great points there. I wanted to get your thoughts on your personal thoughts and your show thoughts about Mac quitting.
I mean, you can't argue with him. I mean, he's got valid points. That's how he feels. And he actually said that, you know, I mean, he
said that several times. So yeah. It's not like this is a surprise to us as viewers, at least.
And he didn't ask for, you know, he didn't ask for forgiveness for how he felt. That's just how he felt. He doesn't trust Coulson.
Right. He's had experience. Again, it's not just based on, oh, I saw what happened to Coulson and I don't like it. It's like, it's like with Gonzalez, it's based on what's happened and May, what has happened to them when they have encountered aliens previously, sets the tone for their behavior in the present.
Yeah. I can't really disagree with how he feels, but I also think Coulson hasn't really given him any reason to not trust him. I mean, okay, so he lied about some things that were top secret official SHIELD business. But I'm not sure he's really given him any reason to not trust him. So I disagree with Mac. I still like Mac and I understand how he's feeling, but I disagree with him, and I guess I'm kind of like Coulson. Well, see ya.
sorry to lose you.
Yeah, you're a good guy. I wish you weren't leaving. You don't have to, but what are you gonna do? I'm not.
Yeah,
I haven't done anything wrong. So
right.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think they're. You know, Mac is moving on to different pastures. Spinoff. Excuse me.
That would be cool. I would totally dig that.
I think he's going to be involved in the spinoff. I think that's the main reason why he's leaving.
Oh man, why can't you just like enjoy? Let us enjoy him being off the show here, and you got to put us in the spinoff.
I don't want to enjoy. I like him. I don't want him to be off the show. But you know what? I think it was a good, valid reason to have that discussion with him, and I think it also makes him more interesting character than just this ultra nice guy, gigantic, good looking, you know,
Gigantor.
Yeah. Yeah, Old Spice looking guy. You know.
So who are they talking about putting in that spinoff again?
Well, all I've heard of, I think, was Bobby and Hunter, right?
Right. So if they kill off Bobby, how are they going to do a spinoff?
What do you mean kill off Bobby? They're not going to kill off Bobby.
Ward and Kara have her.
Yeah, they just keep icing her. You know, it's fine, right?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was a lot of ice.
It's Bobby. She'll be fine. She'll shake it off.
So I just we don't have very much time left, and I apologize. But and there is some interesting stuff going on here. But I think Ward's idea of closure is so much different than ours. His turn, based on what we have seen and or heard, and again, I don't want to go back to revisit this just because I feel like we discussed it a lot, but I still don't know that Ward really killed his family and burned their house to the ground because we didn't see it, even though that was what was reported and we knew where Ward was going. So, but that
other than that,
that's his idea of closure. It's like, yeah, well, I had to go say goodbye to my family and kill them all, burn their house to the ground, you know, salt the earth, you know, raise it from the sky with missiles or something like that. And so now he's giving Kara a chance to do the same thing with Bobby. We don't really know why. There's just has been this mysterious meeting between Kara and Bobby when she was working at Hydra when Bobby was working at Hydra, and but we're not really sure what went down, right? Or unless I missed something.
I don't think so. You don't think Bobby had anything to do with her indoctrination, do you?
Not that we saw. We pretty much saw Whitehall doing that himself.
Yeah, but only for a couple minutes. I mean, it's not like... I mean, it seemed like she'd been in that room for days.
Yeah.
I don't see Bobby being a part of that, especially with someone who she knows is an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. She got Simmons out of there.
Yeah, and Bobby was head of Hydra security, so I don't know that that would necessarily be something that she would be involved in anyway.
Right, yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what... There must be some past history there that we haven't been made aware of yet.
Right, and I'm sure they'll probably get to that, but boy, they got me good on that. I was like, okay, so May and Bobby are... Wait. Why is May flying this jet? What is... And I'm like, really, the first thing I said was, boy, that's a really bad mistake for them to make. Duh. Of course.
The only thing that kind of made me second guess was, wouldn't Bobby have known that May took Gonzalez? It seems like
they left first.
Yeah, but wait, who left first?
Bobby and May, because May came up to Bobby and was like, hey, we got to go scout ahead.
Oh.
So they took off early. And this, of course, is after May and Bobby, the real May and Bobby, were walking down the hall saying, yeah, well, let Kara steal your face and then talk to me about it. So, of course, you know, fool me once. And this is, of course, the second time she's taken May's face, at least second time she's taken May's face. So this intrigues me because I think I was saying this last week. It was like, oh, Ward's kind of gone away. I really like seeing this character. And bam, here he is again. So kudos. Yeah,
that was good. That was good because I wasn't expecting him either.
Yeah. So, wow, a lot of great stuff going on this episode. Like I said, this was chock full, very meaty episode, and geez, you know, next week we might have to do a slightly longer than average podcast just so we can fit in a 2-hour episode, but B, a season finale. So I think that we'll have a lot to talk about.
Yes, I agree with you, and I'm looking forward to it.
And hopefully we won't get too much feedback this week because we'll run out of time, but we do have one piece that we did get after last week's show. Full disclosure, this is from a friend of mine in the DC Star Wars collecting group called Tim. He says, love the show, don't write in much, and have only started to listen to episode number 219, which was last week's. But I got to say that I totally disagree with your assessment of Joss Whedon and Phil Coulson. I do not believe Joss is upset over bringing back the character. So if you recall, we discussed from a, I think it was like a BuzzFeed article about... Joss Whedon and his that he had taken some issues with Coulson being brought back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe on TV. He says, Tim goes on to say, as to why Coulson is not in Age of Ultron, I think one needs to read between the lines and take into account Joss's history with the TV executives. So basically, since, and I think we even mentioned this, and that Whedon was, you know, he's one of the producers of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. So, I mean, he was totally involved in this. Tim has a couple bullet points here talking about this. He says, I recall an interview around season one where Clark Gregg received a phone call from Joss telling him that he'd be back. Joss's brother and sister-in-law are the showrunners, so I'm sure Joss is well aware and signs off on some aspects of the overall plot. Also being Joss is an executive producer of the show still.
Yes.
Point number three, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would have never gotten off the ground without Agent Coulson's character. And Tim also says, I do not doubt that Coulson will be back in the cinematic universe at some point. So anyway, just his opinion, he says, but keep up the great work. And he is going to see Avengers Age of Ultron again. So he would have seen this twice by the time last weekend rolled around. So I felt... We might have been a little hard on Whedon, but the article that we were using as reference that had, of course, just came out, that was kind of the tone it was taking. And I too recall some of these things that Tim was talking about, so I just did not have time to do a larger fact check when we were talking about that. So,
oh, you know what? No, I kind of go with what I was saying, which is similar to this. But I don't think Coulson will be back in the cinematic universe. And I think Whedon is fine with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Coulson on S.H.I.E.L.D., but I don't think he would be fine with him being back in the movies because, you know, he even said, I think this is some sort of a, not a quote word for word, but paraphrasing that he said it would take away from Coulson's death in the Avengers if he had him back in the movies. I don't think he has a problem with him being on the TV show, but I also, now I read between the lines thinking that he, in Whedon's mind, maybe the TV show isn't as important as the movies. And again, that's just my speculation, but I kind of stand by what I said. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I'm just going to backtrack on everything.
Okay, there you go.
All right. So in our references area here, not really any specific comic book references, but I did just want to point out some really cool things. The producers and the writers are completely trolling us on the Koenig brothers again. We've got Star Wars bedsheets for Sam Koenig, which just, by the way, is just brilliant. The song that was playing over the entire opening is called Robot Tourist by Tam Nightingale. Sam picks out robot socks. I mean, I don't know what all this is about. The one thing that confused me is that did you see the post-it note he pulled off his mirror?
I don't remember what it said.
It said, call your sister. What? So,
we're not going to get Patton Oswalt in a wig with lipstick, are we?
Oh my gosh, that would be hilarious. But then when Coulson shows up, again, this was 1 year ago, he hands Sam a SkyMall catalog, and he's like, oh, this is great. I hope they never go out of business, which hilarious because just about a year ago, SkyMall went out of business.
Now, this one technically said Sky Shop, but you know what they were talking about.
Oh, did it say Sky Shop?
It did. Okay. I think, you know, they were trying to not be brand specific, it looked like, but because I double checked, I looked, I'm like, is that a SkyMall? Okay. It is a SkyMall. It was a SkyMall catalog, but it was just
it was totally a SkyMall catalog. Yeah,
that was really funny. Actually, that a whole opening scene with Patton Oswalt was pretty good. I like that.
Them playing Call of Duty, the rage quitting Call of Duty, and crunching real
quick,
in his ear.
I have a question for you, and you may not have an answer, but we can think back on it. Or Coulson said something about, you know, when he said Theta Protocol. He said, what are we calling this? Theta Protocol. He goes, I'm going to need you to write that down for me.
Yeah.
Was that any kind of clue to, you know, Real S.H.I.E.L.D. TM that about Theta Protocol, and they were wondering, did they find something that maybe Koenig had written down about Theta Protocol, and that's why they were suspicious? Do we know anything about that? Or
When May was going through all of the reports of what Coulson was up to supposedly and finding out that he wasn't actually in London when he was supposed to be or whatever it was.
Right.
They found some reference to Theta Protocol, but nobody would tell them what it meant.
Could that have been what Koenig wrote down?
That is totally possible.
Okay. I thought that was funny too, if that's what it was. It stood out to me because I'm going to need you to write that down for me. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't that complex. I mean, it's like Theta Protocol. Okay, but obviously Coulson's got a lot on his mind. And dude, there's a freaking Theta symbol on the badge that he gave you. I mean, it's maybe he doesn't know his Greek letters.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Maybe he's not up on his Greek alphabet.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Anyway, that was another chock full episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. Josh, thank you so much for joining me again for another week.
Yes, thank you. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. And make sure you leave feedback for us on iTunes if you did. We would love to see that. Even if you disagree with me, it's totally okay. You can also contact us to disagree with me or agree at shield@randomchatter.com would be our email address, or you can get on Twitter at Agents Podcast, or you can join the legions of listeners on our Facebook page at facebook.com/agentspodcast.
And you can check out the other podcasts Josh and I do here on a weekly basis, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash Podcast, which are on randomchatter.com. All shows are also available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. I know you guys have been doing that because, like Josh said, we have some legions coming down on us here, at least on our Facebook page. So, for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.